This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good.
It's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So pretty much, Tack, it's good. Hey, man, we got our schedule, by the way, from the Falcons when we start to get ready for camp. Everybody will be out there and doing their thing on Monday the 22nd, right, Squid? That's when it all begins? The guys get over there on the weekend. We'll be up there to watch guys in helmets and shorts. And I know you always love that part of practice in the summer, don't you, man?
Easy practices when you got on shorts and helmets.
Brian McFadden's in here, guys, former Florida State Seminole and Pittsburgh Steeler, and he's doing a great job filling in, talking about the football. The camp part for the rookies. What was the biggest adjustment? Yet, and if you missed the show yesterday, you were telling us that other than Bill Cowher ignoring you for the much of the season, what was the toughest? What was the thing that, because everyone we talked to says speed, the speed of the game.
Well, speed, that's always a big difference to adjust to, but the mental part. Mm-hmm. For me, when I played against collegiate quarterbacks, now you must understand the majority of the quarterbacks I played against on Saturdays probably would not be drafted.
Okay.
Best case scenario, you might get a drafted guy here or there. Like, I played against Phillip Rivers, and you can tell see the difference in the Phillip Rivers type and a guy like Brock Berlin or somebody like that. But the mental part from the quarterbacks, their ability to dissect and understand what you're doing based on your alignment, based on your leverage, based on the linebackers and things like that, and then they attack you, it was night and day. So just learning the game mentally was a big-time adjustment for me playing corner.
We're coming up on, guys, almost a month away now, so we'll have a practice the first couple of days. They're only going to have 8 sessions that are going to be open to the fans. I know people love to go up to Flowery Branch, get there early, and the practice, as you guys know, the gates open around 8:30, and the practice usually starts around 9:30 after the guys stretch and do their thing. And then we'll be up there. I believe we're going to do our same routine we did last year. We were at Stars and Strikes. There was a great bar, the Thirsty Turtle, which had our beer, and we'll have our beer again, Hey Man Ale.
Hey,
because
man.
The thing is, the practice, because it's an early session, it's over, and then what we had was Carl and I in a parking lot for 5 hours, you know, in the tent.
So we said, like, you guys were tailgating.
Yeah, no, there's nobody there. So then we said, let's go to where it's nice and air conditioned, and we can, you know, drink cold beer and have good food, and people can come and chill.
So
and
you have to drink your cold beer inside AC.
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, I mean, if I'm not on a boat or on a beach, yes, I prefer some air conditioning. If I'm not in a pool, you know, I like things to be cool. My technique, as I did over the weekend, is I'm kind of like the manatee. I keep it right from the chin. Chin is above the waterline.
Gotcha.
A hippo. Yeah, and or the nipples. From the nipples up, I'm a rock star. You know, once you get to the tummy, then things, all bets are off. You know, then, you know, it is what it is. Now, again, Brian is carved out of wood, and I'm out of silly putty, but it is time for an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, your commissioner, Brian McFadden. We finally put a guy in charge who played the game. What do you do with Tyreek Hill?
Boy, it's tough. I mean, Tyreek Hill came into the league with some issues. So far, up until most recently, his name hasn't been tied to anything negative. But just having his name tied to this is a bad sign. And because of that, when you look at how they handle other players.
Ezekiel Elliott,
exactly. Basically was cleared, but his name was tied to something, and he was punished, right? I think he will be punished.
Little kid got his arm broken. I guess in this case, and it's tough to kind of read between the lines and what exactly the Kansas City investigators were able to find. One thing for certain, they could not determine if it was Tyreek or his girlfriend who actually hit or whatever caused the damage to the young child's arm. So they moved on from the case. But you just laid it out. Brian talked about it. The NFL investigators on Ezekiel Elliott, the female investigator, she turned in the report. Here it is, and it says, I don't find any reason to move forward with any form of a suspension.
Yep.
And they said, well, let's just put a Sharpie through that part and then sit him with half the season and basically end the Cowboys' year.
I did not agree with in how they handled Ezekiel Elliott's situation because, like you said, the investigator said it's pretty much it's done. It's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
But the NFL still suspended him. And because of that, The line in the dirt has been drawn. So that is the standard. Unfortunately, it's not fair to the players.
But unfortunately, back in 2011 here in Atlanta, the players' union signed off on allowing Roger Goodell to be judge and jury in this deal.
Well,
and that's a shame.
You know what? At that time, I was a part of Pittsburgh, and that was during training camp. And Charlie Batch, he was our NFL player rep at the time. He said, I'm not telling you guys what to do, but me personally, based on my homework, my studying, this is not a good deal for the players. I'm not signing it. And you know what we said? We're not signing it either. We're ready to go to strike. We were ready to go to strike. We started contacting other players from other teams throughout the NFL that were currently in training camp as far as East Coast teams and Central time zone teams. Say, you know what? We're not signing. What are you guys going to do? We should all come together. Guess what? A lot of the veteran players, superstar players, were like, it's time to go back to work. And now you're complaining. We had an opportunity to make our voice be heard loud and clear. And some people decided to take the money instead of having a better deal in place that would put us going forward in better positions to be successful, even when you're away from the game.
Right. And we've talked about this on this show. Now, I know there's a lot of folks out there go, yeah, nobody puts a gun to your head to play football. Look, guys, we're talking about dudes that are in, it's the unreality of their reality. You know, there's only a certain percentage of people in this country that can do the job you guys do. And when you look at, you know, basketball, and I understand that it's 16 games versus 81 or 82 games, but still, when you think about what you guys do when you walk away from the game.
Yeah.
Everything from CTE to just playing quality of life. You know, we see it every year at the Super Bowl. Guys humping around and can barely walk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I get it. No one's putting a gun to your head, but there's still enough money, guys. My point is to take care of the people that help build this sport.
I mean, my thing is this. When it comes to the NFL, and it hurts me when I see older players that played the game before me that I grew up watching, loving, seeing what they do, barely can walk around. I mean, clearly that's not good. That's not a good thing to be a part of as far as having your afterlife when it comes to being done with football, basically being a cripple.
Right.
It doesn't look good. So finding a way to be able to give lifetime benefits, things like that, for these players that left everything on the line for you to continue to build on your brand, those are things that players would love to have in place and they should have in place.
When you got unions that really have some backbone, and again, don't want to get political on it, guys, but just real quick, bear with me. There's times and places in this country where unions really served a purpose. Coal miners back in the turn of the century, going back to 1900. You can go back to any kind of job, firemen, cops, guys who put their life on the line. You know, these are the dudes and the ladies who deserve compensation. In the South, union's a dirty word. You know, union, whoa, forget it. But there are people out there, because again, there's some places where unfortunately, like in the auto industry years ago, where it went so far that the price of a car went up and we couldn't compete internationally.
Yep.
So there are times and places where you got to use some common sense. Point I'm getting to is when you're a zillion-dollar organization, the NFL, what's the number this year, Squid? $15 billion? They're shooting for, that's what they're shooting for by the end of this decade. But let's just take a conservative number, $11 or $12 billion, you know, in profits. The idea that you could put something in the kitty, help these guys. Like I said, a guy like Earl Campbell, who we love talking to, we have Earl in studio a couple years ago, and you see Earl, and he's in a wheelchair, he's banged up. Just take care of the guys that helped to build this sport. The NFL just didn't just drop in, you know, 2019.
Yes.
It's built on the work and the labor, the shoulders of the guys that came before. And that's the thing that's a shame because it's, go back to your point, in 87 when the players tried to strike, the first guys across the picket line were like Lawrence Taylor and Joe Montana.
Yes. Think about it.
So can you guys hear? Here's my question. In 2020, if it hits the fan, can these guys ride it out? 2021 would be the strike year, right, Bo? 2020 is the final year.
I think it would be 2021 would be a strike.
Can these guys actually bankroll save? Because I know I couldn't. I'm too irresponsible. Can these guys put the money away and live by it?
Yes, they can. They can. The issue is they don't take it. They don't take this thing seriously. And in 2011, they told us, like in 2007, to start preparing for a potential strike. So be smart with your money. We heard it, and a lot of players didn't hear it. And because of that, you're like, oh, man. And the owners, they know this. They know a lot of these players are not financial literate.
Right.
And with that being said, we're going to wait them out. They can't afford to sit away when they have all these luxury things, these expenses, these responsibilities, and especially they haven't really been saving their money. Eventually they might say, yeah, let's go to strike. But we can wait them out. Owners feel like we have enough, granted, to be able to miss preseason, miss some of the regular season, and still be okay. The players will knock at our door before we knock at our door.
Okay, right.
Yeah, that's how they feel.
It's a shame because I do think in the case of the NFL, for instance, the CBA, how that thing got hammered out, and players aren't happy with it. I think as a fan, you get deprived. Like if you're a Cowboys fan, we don't care about the Cowboys here in Atlanta. You're a Cowboys fan. You had a commissioner arbitrarily rule, despite all the evidence on his desk, that a player now is going to be suspended for half the season and effectively ended their year.
Yeah.
That, to me, irks me. Now, in the case of Tariq Hill, you've got a number of things. You've got the case in Kansas City. You would think, though, if the police didn't move on and didn't move forward with the case, you wouldn't have a leg to stand on. But if you read the language of the CBA, it doesn't matter. Roger Goodell can make these decisions.
Yep.
Same thing goes now in the case Tariq Hill, when the wife, or the girlfriend, she tapes her, remember she had the phone out?
Mm-hmm.
They're over, I think they're in the Emirates somewhere, like Dubai or something. And he's like, yeah, you should be afraid of me. I mean, that's the NFL. Now, if from a PR standpoint, I understand why Roger Goodell will come down on him for that, because that's bad PR. It's a black eye for the NFL, pardon the pun.
I agree. But this is the bed the players made. You must lay in it. We had an opportunity, like I said, to allow our voice to be heard loud and clear. And because of, you know, some players being impatient, they decided to jump on it and signed a bad deal.
We had heard from, like, Randy Mack and other guys, other players we've had on the show, that part of the carrot on the stick was taking away two-a-days.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something Demaurice Smith came back with? Hey, no more two-a-days, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Does that feel like a win?
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the physical standpoint, yeah, you like it. No two-a-days. You know, you got one practice, two-a-days. I mean, and then morning and afternoon session, never back-to-back sessions. But And all in all, when it comes to being suspended, when it comes to the fine, we don't even know where the fine money goes. I mean, you get fined $7,500 for your socks, not having your socks the right color or the right length.
It's supposed to go to United Way, right? It's supposed to go to NFL charities or something? That's where it's supposed to go.
When you say supposed to, that means you're not sure.
That's all I know. I'm not. But you know how I feel about Goodell. I think he's a stooge. To me, anybody could do Robert Goodell. Roger Goodell's job could be done by a chimpanzee. You sit there in a suit. The networks, every 5 or 6 years, they dump money on your desk, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – and even with the Kaepernick thing, with people, I'll never watch the NFL again. It's all the top 25 TV shows in the country are NFL games, including the playoff games. It's the NFL Blitz, man. We got Brian McFadden in today. It's good to get the players' perspective on where this is going. Today, Chicago became the 11th state in the nation to legalize recreational use of marijuana. Really? So what about – let me throw this at you. Would some players, in your opinion – not you personally, but in your opinion, would some guys be willing to cut a deal if – NFL loosened up the reins on how they do drug testing and the protocol for marijuana?
Probably. I mean, let's keep it real. You know what I mean? Some guys probably be like, yeah, I'd take that. You know, you don't have to worry about being tested at any given time, especially if you're already in the program. When I say the program, if you failed a drug test, either coming out in the draft or some point in time throughout your professional career, you can get randomly tested at any given time for marijuana. So when you're in that program, I mean, you got to be mindful if you're going to take
it. They can pop up, you're on vacation.
Yes, wherever. Where you're at, they send you a text, we're coming by this time, be ready. Nothing you can do about it. So some players that are extremely in love with marijuana, oh, no question. I mean, they'll take a chance at it.
Well, I've always said that if let's look at a big picture. I mean, because there's always guys, if it's illegal, it's illegal. Yes, thank you, Johnny Law. Thank you, Law and Order Man. But I'd rather have you guys, not you personally, but guys that, you know, if they have pain and you want to mitigate the pain, I'd rather have them on some marijuana than opioids, than having these guys popping Percocet and, you know, all that stuff like Tic Tacs.
Yeah. My one concern about when it comes to, you know, legalizing marijuana in the NFL, you know, will it affect the product on the football field? Now, I had some teammates that used to come, like, we have a 1 o'clock game. They might smoke right before the game.
No kidding.
No question.
Because LT was famous for all the other things, you know, harder than
marijuana. Exactly.
Yeah. And other players in that era, 80s was a different time.
Yeah, 80. Yeah. You know, they used to smoke cigarettes in the locker room.
That's
true. You know, during halftime and things like that. So, yeah, but I some guys, you know, it feels like it calms them down. They can be a little more dialed in, focused when they're at ease. But, you know, that's one concern about, will it affect the product on the football field?
It's just something I thought might be a bargaining chip for the NFL. The Blitz continues. Cam Jordan tells the Saints, pay Michael Thomas. Cameron Jordan signed a 3-year contract extension. He's really good at getting after the quarterback. Sean Payton said Michael Thomas is next in line for a new deal. Jordan says he hopes that comes soon. He posted a video on Twitter arguing on NFL Network that he's worth it being the highest paid receiver in the NFL. Contract gets done before Julio's and just add even more money into what Julio's going to get in his bump with the Falcons.
Yes,
what do you think of Michael Thomas, where he ranks in everybody
Michael
else out there?
Thomas, in my opinion, he is the modern-day Chris Carter. He's not extremely fast. He doesn't blow you away with his athleticism. He plays hard. He catches everything that comes in his catch radius. And he has a great ability to get
yards after the catch.
Yes.
And sometimes he almost looks like a tight end the way he, you know, you're right.
He's got big size. He's like a modern-day Chris Carter. I mean, he led the league in 2018 in receptions, 125. He set the Saints receiving yards record with over 1,400 to be exact, 1,405 to be exact. big-time playmaker since stepping into the NFL. He's been a difference maker his rookie year going up to what we saw a year ago. And also playing with the Drew Brees actually helps a lot. But you can't take anything away from Michael Thomas. He's one of the more sure-handed wide receivers in the game.
Hey, let's hear what Amari Cooper says as far as professional respect for another wide receiver, and he talks a little bit about Evans here.
I'm not watching Michael Thomas's pockets. I think everything is going to fall in place when it needs.
Because Mike Evans, he's another guy, big guy, but to me, he drops the easy catch, makes the hard catch, which is kind of the knock on Julio the first year. Then Julio was obviously blossomed to be one of the greatest in the league. It's our Blitz with Brian McFadden. One last nugget, and this is big because I thought this was a guy we might kick the tires on, and not knowing we were going to go offensive line, not we were going to go tackle. But if you didn't hear the word yet, it looks like Jonah Williams from Alabama, done for the year. He underwent left shoulder surgery, a torn labrum. That's likely to sideline him for the entire season. He's expected to make a full recovery. He sat out mandatory minicamp. If you ever had a torn rotator cuff or a labrum, that's a miserable rehab that takes a couple of months. But if you were the Bengals and looking for this guy to become, you know, one of the bookends on the offensive line, Jonah Williams looked like he's out for the season. And that's a buzzkill for the fans when you take a guy who's a top 15 pick and you're not even going to see him on the field.
Yeah, I mean,
look what happened with Dante Fowler a couple years ago with the Jags.
Yeah. It was going to be a rebuilding year for Cincinnati right now with Zach Taylor as the new head coach, him and his staff. And Jonah was potentially could be a day one starter for this team, a difference maker on the offensive line. I already felt like they may win four games. May.
Well, that's enough. You know what? Pencil in a few more wins maybe for the Browns. By the way, you buying the Browns hype? We talked a little bit yesterday about Odell Beckham. You buying the Browns hype to make the playoffs this year?
They will be entertaining to watch, but to make the playoffs, no. When you look at their first eight games, that will make or break their season. I mean, their first eight games, that stretch is really, really tough. Not to mention they got, two Monday night games, so they have two short weeks to bounce back from. When you have so many new additions to both sides of the football team, it takes some time to get that chemistry and that rhythm going. And to start off, like I said, the eight-game stretch, man, it could be tough, so I say no.
We got a couple of things I want to touch on. The NFL Blitz, so we got more. I got one more thing because I got some Braves. Everybody's fired up about the fracas or what was going on between Contreras and Tyler Flowers. We'll definitely get into some of that. But I got to ask you a question because last week, Chuckery, who was filling in, we were going round and round about could you actually start two rookies on one side of an offensive line because we got two first-round draft picks. I want to pick your brain on that when we come back.
Yep.
That is a tease. Thank you.
Professional tease.
I've been doing this since I was 18. Nobody respects me around here. It is Dukes and Bell with Brian McFadden. Hey, man, Mike Conte will be back with us with In Case You Missed It coming up here in about 20 minutes' time on Dukes and Bell. Brian McFadden doing a great job filling in today. I had one more football nugget for you from the Blitz, and we'll talk about the Braves and all the shenanigans last night at Wrigley from that dirtbag Contreras for the Cubs, who Brian says isn't a bad guy after all. But real quick, and by the way, Falcons, I meant to mention this when we were talking about the schedule in the NFL Blitz. Military Appreciation Day at Mercedes-Benz will be Sunday, August 4th.
Yeah.
Remember, we got an early start this year with a Hall of Fame game against the Broncos, but I know for a lot of people that there's no shame in it if you can't afford season tickets or you don't have a chance to get the kids in there or you just want to see what it's all about. It's a great way for a cheap price for you to get into Mercedes-Benz. We had a huge crowd. Dan Quinn talked about it. We were up there with the coaches a few weeks ago and how much it meant to the players to actually see the fans out there checking it out. But that'll be on August 4th, and the gate's going to open at 10. The practice will start at 12:30, which is cool. I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
So we got two guys we drafted in the first round.
Yep.
And we also spent like $80 million in free agents on offensive line. We got a guy in Jamon Brown. We got Carpenter. Brown would probably start at the left tackle position. That's the left guard position. Left tackle is Matthews. Could you trust, if they win the job, two rookies at right guard and right tackle to start the season?
No question. We just saw this same scenario come to fruition with the Colts a year ago. Mm-hmm. Quentin Nelson was the first rounder in 2018, and Braden Smith was the second rounder in 2018 in the same draft. Started basically the entire season for the Colts, and we saw how good that offensive line was from top to bottom, and Quentin Nelson was pretty much the main catalyst in the success. He was an all-pro pro bowler, mm-hmm. and Smith played well on the edge. So, yes, we've seen this just happened a year ago with the Colts. So clearly for the Falcons standpoint, you have to be optimistic in seeing and hearing good things so far from McGarry and Lindstrom, and hopefully they can continue that into camp. And I said when the Falcons drafted Lindstrom in the first round, his NFL comp was Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson is extremely nasty, but within the rules. Lindstrom kind of gets the job done, but he doesn't tell you about it. When Quentin Nelson puts you in the dirt, he will tell you about it. You know what I mean? He will literally verbally tell you, I just dominated you. Now, Lindstrom probably has that part of his game in his arsenal also. But yet and still, he's a technician. He's fundamentally sound for a collegiate offensive lineman. And McGarry, you know, he's like the bouncer. He's the guy that wants to get into a bar fight. You need to have that type of personality in the trenches,
right,
offensively and defensively.
And when we had teams back in our first run of the NFC Championship in 2012, we had some real nastiness in the offensive line. We had a group that, I mean, I don't know if you consider them nasty, but they played together and they stayed healthy in 16. We went to the Super Bowl. But I love what you're saying, man, about running the football. Yeah, that's an attitude to run the football.
It has to be an attitude, and your attitude will display success. You got to want to get after somebody. You got to want to put a man down in the dirt. You know what I mean?
And I like when you say it like that. It sounds, doesn't it sound good? That's a good promo right there. Put a man down in the dirt.
I like the tone of your voice better.
Get you ready for football. No, because that's why I love getting you in here, man, and getting your takes on this. The reason I ask you is because John Chuckery is doing a great job filling in for Fricky on the morning show. We brought this up last week, and he was saying he didn't think Dan Quinn would trust two rookies. And I said, well, damn, they're going to have 5 weeks to win the job. You know, we've got an extra week with the Hall of Fame game. Yep. But the idea being Vikings, really good front seven. Eagles, really good front seven coming at you. Colts, with a rebuilt defensive to a degree. Titans, Texans. I mean, at some point, if I've got two first rounders, these guys, Lindstrom for sure, but can McGarry pick up, I guess for a tackle, picking up the speed? Because you're getting the best edge rushers coming at you.
That's the big question mark between both guys. I think Lindstrom has enough to be a day one starter
right, instantly.
McGarry needs to really improve his technique and the speed of the game. Let's see how fast he adjusts to the speed of the game. You know, one thing about McGarry, when you watch his tape there at Washington State, he kind of leans on you. When he gets his hands on you, he leans on you. It's not as easy to just get your hands on these outstanding pass rushers who are extremely athletic and fast and quick. So you got to be able to have a counter, and not to mention, you know, his hand placement has to be ideal, I think, most importantly. And that could be, you know, the consensus with most young offensive linemen. But I wouldn't be surprised to see eventually both guys getting into this starting lineup. You don't trade up in the first round to go get a tackle and you believe year one would be a learning year for him. You have to believe eventually this guy will be starting for us in 2019.
Because the Eagles, for instance, in the second week of the season, Sunday Night Football and Mercedes-Benz, are you up to the task? Because that's a really big physical front that's coming at you. And we've seen Fletcher Cox just throwing guys like ragdolls in the past.
Hey, if you want to learn the experience, Lindstrom, you go against big Fletcher Cox. I mean, he pushed a lot of people around, grown men around.
But that's one thing. So it's cool. I want to get the counterpoint. But it's all about putting the work in and the coaches trusting you. The good news is we got more depth than we've ever had from Matt Ryan.
Which is good.
Right. And we get the run game. And if Free is back, and that's a big if. I know a lot of people think I'm like, I'm feeling that Free is going to be able to bounce back. I think he can. Why not?
Yeah, he will. As long as he's healthy, he will be successful. The only thing that has really hampered Devontae from being impactful has been injuries. When this guy has been healthy, not to mention everybody was talking about the additions to the offensive line was solely about Matt Ryan. It had a lot to do with Matt Ryan, but the running game. Because if this team is running the football, you cannot just stack the box and allow Julio, Mohamed Sanu, Hooper,
Ridley,
to have one-on-one opportunities. That's not going to happen. So you got to pick and choose your battle. When I was in Pittsburgh where Bruce Arians was the OC, he used to talk so much trash to the defense. And this is when we still had Hines, we had Antoine Randall, and we had the young guns in Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, who was 4'2", Antonio Brown. Need I say more?
Wow.
Bruce Arians would talk to the secondary. Now, knowing we couldn't hit the wide receivers in practice, you know what I mean? So we had to play the finesse game, which we hate because he used to really try to get off on us. You got two ways to die, either fast or slow. But just know you're going to die. So you pick and choose how you want to die. If you want to play off coverage, we're going to nickel and dime you. You're going to die the slow way. If you want to get up and try to be physical, we're going to take the top off the coverage. You're going to die the fast way. And that was the same. Here in Atlanta, if you're going to stack the box and allow these pass catchers to have one-on-one opportunities, you're going to die fast.
Remember last year? Who was it on Hard Knocks last year? The former Saints defensive coordinator that was
Greg Williams.
Yeah, Greg Williams was so much fun to watch. Him and Todd Haley wanted to rip each other's throats out on Hard Knocks to the same point. Because defense early in camp is a little bit easier for the defense, right, while the offense is installing all that stuff. And you saw, Haley's just going. You can see the dysfunction too on that team from the jump.
Yeah. Clearly, but you can tell they had an individual battle going.
Right. I just like the idea of these guys battling it out. Here's a question: will these guys who are being groomed to win these jobs at defensive line, I should say, at offensive line, at guard and tackle, can they truly be tested by our defensive line the way it looks right now?
I mean, you know what? That's a good question. One would think because these guys are young, you know, they shouldn't just come in and dominate. Now, they come in and dominate from start to finish, then, whoa, they could be that good or the defensive line could be that bad.
That's just, I mean, is Tack going to wear out like Caleb McGarry? That's my question. Who's going to get after these guys?
And you know what? We will get a chance to see, of course, once they put the pads on, you know, inside drills, one-on-one opportunities, you really will see exactly who has the it factor. And one thing about young players, for me as a player, when I played the game and now as a fan of the game, the first day of competitive practices, when you have pads on, you instantly can see if this player has it. Like, instantly.
Guys know. And the tape, especially when you're watching the tape.
When you see them the first get off, you know what I mean, the first pass pro, things like that, instantly you can tell that, okay. Just when he learn it, when he learns it, he's going to be tough.
Brian McFadden is in today, guys, for Carl. I just want to do a little extra bonus NFL Blitz. I always love getting his insight from, because, man, just stepped away from the game a few years back. The big story last night here in town was the Braves against the Cubbies. We started the show talking about it. We had the conversation about trying to get younger people fired up and some of these stupid unwritten rules of baseball, like if they got the shift on, why can't you lay the bunt down? You know, especially if you can get a double out of it. If you've got a 2 or 3 run game and a pitcher's going for a no-hitter, why can't I try to lay a bunt down? I'm trying to get a guy on base to get the runner in scoring position, maybe even bring the tying run to the dish. All that stupid stuff. But the one thing is for sure, when you drop an F-bomb on the catcher after you turn and hit a home run, generally people are going to frown on that. If you didn't see it last night, Contreras doing his thing. We heard the comments of Tyler Flowers. It gets both teams fired up. I think part of the thing which created this last night, Brian, the umpire was not exactly calling a consistent strike zone.
Nope.
Neither John Lester or Teron could actually get what they want. Now, Teron was all over the place.
Which is fair because he was inconsistent with both pitchers.
He was equally doubly bad.
Yeah.
But you didn't mind it, though. You didn't mind him seeing because – now, Flowers says he's taking it out on the umpire on me because he can't say if you're the umpire, he'll get run.
Yeah.
So he can't turn and basically crap on Tyler Flowers.
But if I'm Tyler, go right back at him.
Which you know he kind of did.
Yeah, he can, and which is good. Like, I think it was entertaining to see, and granted, I understand because of the so many unwritten rules, it's not baseball-like. You know what I mean? It's not a part of the majors. Mm-hmm. And you know, this has been a part of who he is as a player, but let's go at him also. Because what he did gave them the momentum to go out and dominate, in my opinion.
Now, it took a while for Terrain to get a little sloppy. I thought, by the way, Squid, he left him in way too long in the fit. You got to get him out of there, man. He was just getting killed by singles. It was like every time he looked up, it was first and third. They were just going from station to station, the Cubs were last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Snicker, at some point, you got to know, get him out of there.
Yeah.
Tukey's also a guy I'm losing some confidence in because he's got to be letter perfect, man. He's trying to hold on to his gig. The other thing, and we've talked a lot about this, we're 5.5 up. And I'm not saying that, you know, Conte jinxed it or anything, because it's just, you know, we were 6.5 up when Mike said, looks like this division is won. So don't blame Mike. But you do have to go get another pitcher.
Listen.
And you got to get a closer. We don't have either one of those guys. And you saw the Dodgers last night. And oh, by the way, it's a very unconventional lineup. They got Schwarber leading off, who looks like, you know, he could be playing in a softball league with a beer in his hand. But that dude could rake.
He can hit. Boy, he doesn't play the radio. I mean, defensively, he could be a liability. You know what I mean? When it comes to getting up to that bat.
And he made a nice grab in left field,
but he's so inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get with him. Just look at, I mean.
He's a DH in the American League. That's what Schwarber's lot in life will be eventually.
I mean, he's a few, you know, beers away from being Bartolo.
I would go that's hold on, let's hear from my stomach. Yeah, you could be correct there. But last night, you saw the Cubbies. They got a lineup. We pride ourselves on having a 1-8 that can rake. Dodgers, you've got that. Well, you saw it last night with the Cubbies. And Donaldson kept popping up last night. It was driving me crazy. Donaldson actually started some of it wasn't part of the Wilson Contreras nonsense, but there was a ball that was just outside the strike zone. Madden and the Cubs bench was working the ump immediately. Josh Donaldson turns and goes, to the Cubs. So there was a little bit of weirdness on both teams.
I mean, this is kind of a personal matchup because the Cubs got embarrassed the first series. They were playing bad baseball. Braves took advantage of it.
Unless you'd been on a bad run until last night,
too. Yes, so this was a personal opportunity for the Cubs and for Lester, and they took advantage of their business. And now let's see exactly what the Braves have. You know, coming up tonight.
A young rookie in his only second appearance with the Cubbies tonight named Alzale going up against our man Max Fried, who had a decent outing last time out. We'll talk more about the Braves next hour. But next, Mike Conte rolls in the lighter side. We'll get you some in case you missed it on the game.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
News for you.
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
All right, man. The voice of our Atlanta United. By the way, when are you jetting off to Toronto, man?
Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning. Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, the weather's supposed to be beautiful up there tomorrow. So hopefully get to walk around for a few hours and explore Toronto. It's a great city. Used to go there all the time when I was in college because in Toronto, it's legal to drink at age 19. And I have a pro tip for you.
So,
I spent many a foggy night in Toronto, but looking forward to getting up there. Looking forward just to do a game.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been
3.5 weeks.
Yeah, I know. A lot of guys have been asking about the international break. The good news is we're missing guys, but so is Toronto, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But still, it's going to be a tough road to hoe.
Both teams are really, really, really shorthanded. And
you think Vasquez is up for it?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I think he's up for it. But the thing is, Atlanta United, for whatever reason, has always had trouble against shorthanded teams. Always. You know,
like mentally checking out a little bit or taking it for granted?
And maybe just coincidence. They've always had trouble putting away those teams. And one of them was Toronto last year in Toronto. So we'll see. But 7:30 tomorrow night here on 92.9 The Game. Now, I heard you guys talking yesterday on my way home. Craig, at his other job, had an incident where a car got stolen.
Yes.
Correct.
Did I hear that correctly?
A guy came in to get a pack of smokes, and in the time it took him to basically walk into the store,
walk out,
another car pulls up, and guys jump in, and they take his ride. And he comes out. He's like, what? That's not my car.
Right. Did he leave his car running?
Yes.
All right.
Shame on him.
It is very unfortunate to see a car get stolen.
But don't leave it running.
Yeah.
Don't leave it running.
Common sense. Like,
I learned that.
And the door is open, unlocked.
And he left you don't want to lock your car and leave it running.
Yes.
That would probably be a problem,
too.
But just turn the car off. It never ceases to amaze me why people leave their car running when they go into the store.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you know, if you have to have the air conditioner going, if it's really that hot out, maybe. Anyhow, there's this surveillance camera footage that has just come out in the last day or two over at the Landmark Diner in Buckhead. And there are these vandals going around smashing into cars. And one of them is a beautiful Rolls-Royce Phantom, 2009 Rolls-Royce, parked at Landmark Diner. And you see in the video, there's a guy who backs into the parking spot next to this Rolls. And then he gets out. You can see him kind of messing with the car, like hitting it, damaging it. And a couple other cars. Turns out the Rolls-Royce belonged to Dikembe Mutombo.
I couldn't believe that went down. And they didn't even steal anything. It's just pure, good old-fashioned vandalism.
It's almost like bumper cars. Like
no!
He was just hit. The person was in their car hitting the Phantom?
They just rolled in and smashed the windows for some reason.
Yeah, got out.
Yeah.
But didn't take anything.
Just like good old-fashioned stupid vandalism. Like dumb. And a beautiful
was
car
that
like that.
Was the only car?
No, other cars too. This car of Dikembe's was by far the nicest.
Yes.
You know, not too many people driving Rolls Royces to begin with.
Exactly.
TMZ reached out to Dikembe for comment. He has not commented, but the owner of Landmark Diner says he's going to hire private security to prevent such a thing from happening.
Yeah, that would be smart.
Yeah.
If you believe in karma, all the things that Dikembe does in charity, that's the last guy in the world ever should have that happen to him.
How many cars were damaged?
It doesn't say. But you know, Dikembe is doing this Ebola awareness thing right now. You're right, Mike. He goes to Africa on a lot of humanitarian missions. He's like the nicest guy in the world.
What are you getting out of doing that?
You're a turd. Yeah, I don't get it. Because, you know, it's one thing, you know, you see a lot of smash and grab, you know, and people parking their cars on the street, stuff like that in Buckhead and Midtown everywhere. Man, it's a buzzkill.
Yeah. Here's a story out of Missoula, Montana. The sheriff's department there gets a call at 5:45 in the morning on Friday because of a break-in. And the cops get there, the deputies get there, and the family inside says there's someone somewhere downstairs because we're hearing a lot of commotion in the area of the laundry room, and we don't know what's going on, but there's someone in our house. And the deputies start to investigate, and they find on the top shelf of this laundry closet The intruder has fallen asleep, climbed onto the shelf, and fell asleep. He's going to jail, right? No, it's a bear.
Oh!
A bear somehow jimmied his way into the home, found the laundry room, because, you know, that's where bears like to go.
Apparently.
And
was he eating Tide Pods or something?
I don't know. And then took a nap on the top shelf. So they called in Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And they say the bear actually was very crafty. The door was unlocked and a little bit ajar. And I guess he caught on the scent of something. Went in the laundry room, fell asleep. apparently, the bear was not very aggressive. Fortunate for
Mellow
this family.
Bear, yeah.
When the deputies got there, they assumed that the bear was going to charge at them. So yeah. They have like...
They just surrendered.
He would look and yawn. He like looked at the humans, yawn, go back to sleep. They were able to tranquilize it. Sounds like it was already tranquilized to begin with. Right. But they tranquilized it, moved it to another.
But those things, from people, I don't camp because I'm a city person, but they get into your cars, they'll attack your tents. Mm-hmm. If you got garbage that's not secure, they'll get in there and be ripping that stuff up.
Picnic baskets.
Yogi obviously. And boo-boo.
Yeah. The reason why I bring this up is so when I was
these
in,
bears got to be stopped, man. Yeah. They're a menace.
Well, so when I was in Gatlinburg last week, bears are everywhere there. Yeah. Everywhere. And they don't really mess with the humans. They say that bears are, as long as they're not brown bears, and in Gatlinburg, I guess it's black bears that are the bear of choice up there. they don't really mess with humans. They're usually more scared of the humans than you are of the bear. But, like, if you want to have a garbage can outdoors, it has to be in this metal grate
where
with a locking top.
Yep.
Like, yeah, there are many, many steps taken to keep bears away from humans there. Wouldn't you know it, we encountered a bear in Gatlinburg. It was the highlight of the trip, by the way. So we got back from dinner Monday night. We had one of these cabins up on one of the mountains there. And there's a pizza parlor at the bottom of the hill that you drive past to go up the hill into our cabin. And my brother points out, I think that's a bear about to go in the dumpster of the pizza place. And sure enough, it's not a small bear. I mean, the bear is like the size of a Volkswagen.
Wow.
Climbs into the dumpster. And then I swear to God, I'm not making this up. The bear climbs into the dumpster, dives in, closes the door to the dumpster. So obviously, we don't want the people at the pizza parlor going out there and throwing out garbage.
Yes.
And oh, surprise,
there's a bear.
A big bear.
So my brother goes into the pizza joint and says, guys, look, just so you know, I don't want to alarm you, but there is a bear in your dumpster. You guys might want to call someone. They laughed us out of the store. They said, they said, you guys must be tourists. This type of thing happens all the time. And like, we're trying to get rid of them.
Yeah, but he's in the dumpster.
There's a bear in your dumpster.
So when you open the door, the bear's going to leap out and bite your head off.
Yes.
That's normal.
Like, is that not a reasonable concern? Mm-hmm.
I mean, not for them. That's normal.
I mean, I don't want to see anyone get attacked, obviously, but you would almost say they deserve it if they're going to laugh you out of the store when you're trying to save their life.
Or maybe it's a routine. Maybe the bear comes at a certain time, goes into the dumpster, eat, and leaves.
I did not consider that. That's actually not a bad idea.
And they might be saving on their sanitation trash removal bill because the bear's doing all the work.
That is also not a terrible theory, that the bear goes in there and eats all the expired dough and anchovies.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that would be a very, very dangerous surprise. To go out there, and, you know, like, those are big
bears.
Big bags of garbage. You know, you're probably using both your hands. You're doing some gymnastics to get it in there. If you have a bear fly out at you, you're probably going to get hurt.
I mean, I'm running when I see a raccoon in a trash can.
Yes.
Darn right.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, better yet, a bear?
Yes. Yes.
But if it's rabbits, rabies, I don't know. Those aren't cooties, man.
Listen, when I was living in Alpharetta, we had an opossum in our
Are the worst.
In our backyard. It was one of those mama possums that has the kids hanging on her. One of the most disgusting, foul things you're ever going to see. And so we called the police, you know, hey, we've got this possum. Are you going to come remove
it? How big was it?
I mean, it was, I don't know, about the size of a football. But they laughed at us. They said, no, we're not going to come remove the possum. The possum will move on unless you believe it to be rabid, which we thought it was because it was out in the middle of the day. That shouldn't happen, right? They should only come out at night. So we were left to fend for ourselves with the possum.
How did you get what did you do?
A 1 in 100 shot. I had a tennis ball in our backyard that we played fetch with the dogs with. Threw the tennis ball at that possum. Hit it right between the eyes.
Nice.
Over the fence it goes, gone.
Look at you.
1 in 100
shots.
Annie Oakley over here.
1 in 100 shot. Because I've got a terrible arm, terrible length.
It was basic luck.
Basic luck.
Don't we have coyotes running around too?
I heard.
You know where I live, right?
Right.
Coyotes take that little stream in the backyard as its expressway.
Wow.
To get from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill and go find, I don't know, whatever coyotes eat.
Yeah, what do coyotes eat?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's great. I don't have any mice or rat problems whatsoever at my house. And squirrels, right. You never see.
That's why you need snakes also.
We have, yes.
We have a black snake or a king snake. They're good for rats and
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, they're bad for other things, though.
Yeah.
Namely that they are snakes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Everyone says that. They always should be.
Namely that
yeah,
they are
like
snakes.
Like down in Florida. Like, we're down in Naples. Same thing. It's like, oh, there's a garden snake. It's good. No, it's not.
I had like snakes coming all around, like in the flower bed and things like that. So I ended up killing the snake. And when I killed it, when some of the neighbors heard about it, they were like, "No, you should have told us. We would have bought it from you.
To go get the other critters in their backyard."
Yes.
Okay.
So then, most recently, maybe like 2 months ago, I had two more snakes around the landscaping area, and they got caught in the net because we have a net over the plants, flowers, so the deers don't eat them.
Okay.
And they got caught in the net. So,
how do you remove the snake?
Yeah. Well, how does that go down?
Yeah.
Listen,
I'm trying to imagine the snake's angry.
Snakes are caught. I'm trying to get the snake out. Mm. One snake is dead. The other one is still alive. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to try to set you free and just allow you to do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he was a bit angry.
Yeah.
Oh.
I could not get him out of the net. And the other one, this was pretty nice size, right?
Yeah.
So the other one's just a dead body.
Brian just put his arms out about three and a half, four feet wide.
So he's just a dead body. He's just lingering around while I'm trying mm-hmm. to move him off the one that's alive. And I got tired of trying to get this snake free, so I just threw it in the bushes. I cut all the net up, and I just kind of...
Ooh, brave.
And the crazy part about it, so I go back to check the next day, the snake is gone. The dead one is there, the live one is gone.
Mm. That's why I live in a high rise. I don't want to deal with this stuff. You think you guys got to deal with your homeowners
and
stuff.
Even the dead snake is not something I'd really want to deal with.
And listen, I hit the first snake I killed when I hit it in the head with a hoe, right? The snake, and I thought, no, I didn't hit it in the head. I hit it in the body, mm-hmm. and I sliced it in half.
I'm not doing the joke, Squid. Stop shaking your head.
Do you know the tail was still moving?
Yes, yeah. I've heard that.
That's what they do.
So you gotta kill the head. You gotta chop the head.
We ever seen a chicken run with his head cut off? You ever seen a chicken go flying around?
No.
Oh, that's a lot of fun.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Yes, I've heard
a
that.
A snake can bite you if it's sliced in half?
Yes.
No, not that.
That's a squib.
Chicken will still flip. Squib. No. You know, this is like, we should get somebody from the Atlanta Zoo on to clarify all this.
When I chop the middle of the body, and I instantly, I'm like, okay, I did it. He's dead.
Yes, right.
And I saw the tail, and the tail almost hit my ankle.
The tail's not going to hurt you, though.
I don't want to be touched by a snake's tail.
I understand, but in a worst-case emergency situation.
I don't want to be touched by a snake's tail.
I can't. You played the NFL for a decade. You can't handle that?
No, I don't want to be. Snakes are disgusting.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to get somebody from Zoo Atlanta on to clarify about the snake. When the snake is cut in half, it can still come around and bite you.
Who's the veterinarian that used to come on Johnny Carson?
Jack Hanna?
No.
The one from, I don't know, let's call her.
Yeah, let's call her.
Johnny would have little critters on his head pooping and everything.
Right, yeah. You want to see some classic footage, go to YouTube.
Everybody's got their own thing to deal with. You've got snakes and there's possums and there's coyotes.
I'd rather see a snake than a possum.
All I got to deal with is like a homeless drag queen on my way home on Peachtree. That's all I got to deal with. We'll come back. We got a dog report. Thanks, Mike Conti. He'll be back here at 5:40 for more shenanigans, and we'll try to learn more about the animal kingdom as well. What's the dogs going to do in the SEC? We'll find out.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these snakes on this plane. Everybody strap in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.